The same factors that make cancer treatments so good at destroying cancer cells can be not so good and sometimes quite damaging to normal, healthy cells. You may have experienced some of the consequences of this kind of damage. For example, it's not uncommon for chemotherapy or radiation therapy to damage normal cells lining the throat, the stomach and bowels. This damage can result in side effects like nausea, vomiting, diarrhea or constipation. Hair follicles damaged by cancer treatment may stop producing hair, resulting in hair loss and baldness, and possibly the loss of your eyelashes and eyebrows. Parts of your body that normally make different kinds of blood cells may be harmed by cancer or cancer treatment. If this happens, your body makes fewer blood cells and you may develop a condition called anemia, or you may bruise easily or catch infections. These kinds of side effects occur most often and are most noticeable while you are still receiving treatment. But now that you're done with your treatment, you probably have lots of questions. As your hair grows back, will everything start returning to normal too? Or does it take time to recover from the physical consequences of cancer and its treatment? How soon can you put all of this behind you and start feeling like your old self again? And does this recovery process ever end? This first section of our CD will focus on what happens to your body after you finish your initial course of treatment, how you recover physically, and what you may need to know about keeping track of your health in the months and years after cancer. We'll begin with the first months after the completion of treatment. This period of time is sometimes called the extended stage of recovery. Then we'll talk about the years that follow, which is sometimes called living beyond cancer.
The extended stage of recovery starts when you complete your first course of treatment and lasts for approximately 1 to 3 years. This is an intermediate or transitional time when people walk a fine line between being sick and being well. In this stage, you may not feel quite like a patient anymore because you are no longer being treated for cancer. But you may not feel safe enough or confident enough to call yourself a survivor or recovered. The medical term for this period is remission. During remission, some people who have a high risk for the disease coming back may continue to take some form of medicine called maintenance therapy. This can often be a stressful time for people as they may have concerns that the cancer will come back. This anxiety is completely natural, but you may feel disappointed that now that your treatment is over, you do not feel more positive about your future.
During the extended recovery stage, you may also need to deal with other health-related issues. Besides looking for signs of cancer, you may be living through lingering side effects from your original treatments. These side effects may include a lack of energy, weight loss or weight gain, or numbness in your fingers and toes. While these types of side effects are usually temporary and go away on their own over time, they might keep on reminding you that you have been sick. Although only time will tell, these side effects will usually disappear within a few months. Some people, though, have to learn how to live with permanent changes in how their bodies look or function. These changes might include the loss of a breast, a leg, or other body part, or a change in body function, as with a colostomy. They could also include scars, radiation tattoos, or damaged sexual organs. And some people will need extra help adapting to these changes. You may find it helpful to get a referral from your oncologist to a rehabilitation specialist or mental health counsellor. It's important to remember that not everybody has the same side effects or recovery time. Your doctors and nurses can help you monitor your progress, and it can also help to talk to other people who have survived cancer to hear about their recovery experience. Let's hear from two people, Alicia and Kevin, who met in the waiting room during follow-up visits to their oncologists.
When I was younger, I expected that my first couple of years out of uni would be all about starting life as a real adult. You know, thinking mostly about really big things, like what kind of job I would get, where I would live, what it would be like for me and my friends to finally be on our own. But then I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease, and now that I've finished my treatment, I worry about how the experience will impact on my future.
I'm proud to say I'm a 9-year cancer survivor. One thing I've learned and really come to appreciate so much is how important the bond between people who've had cancer can be. Talking with others is such a life-affirming experience for me. You can connect on everything from major issues to pretty specific questions about treatment side effects. Since I got my diagnosis of Hodgkin's disease when I was 21, just like Alicia, I think I had a pretty good idea of what kinds of questions she might have. At that stage in life, you're concerned about how you look and how your friends and other people see you. Alicia asked me lots of questions like, how long did it take for my hair to grow back? Did it look and feel normal? Or did it grow back a different colour and texture? Another issue was weight. Was I really thin when I finished my treatment? How long did it take to put on some weight again so I didn't look sick anymore? What did I eat? Could I exercise? Another question she had was about bruising. Did I bruise easily? And if so, what did I do about it?
Since I was planning on starting a new job, I needed to know what to expect. Would I keep on feeling really tired, or would I get my energy level back? I asked Kevin if he had anemia from his therapy and whether he needed treatment to boost his red blood cells. I had experienced chemo brain and was worried that it might affect how I could work. How soon could I expect to start thinking clearly again? I knew that my white blood cell count was low, which could lower my resistance to infections. Since this new job would require me to work with a lot of people all day long, I wanted to know if I'd risk getting lots of colds. I asked Kevin if his doctor told him to stay away from large groups of people or children to avoid catching colds or the flu after he finished his cancer treatment. Had he gotten many infections? And how long did it take for his white blood cell count to get back to normal? I also wondered about the numbness in my fingers and toes. I asked Kevin if he had experienced that and how long it took to go away. Finally, even though it's a personal kind of question, I wondered what Kevin's doctors and nurses had told him about the possible effects of his treatment on whether he could have children in the future.
I really felt good talking with Alicia about her questions. It's perfectly normal to feel worried about these things. It's also important to remember that, though many of us face the same questions, no matter what type of cancer we have overcome, we each recover at our own pace. So I suggested other ways for Alicia to get answers from other people too. For me, that starts with my doctors and nurses. I found that it really helps to write down questions between checkups so you'll remember to ask them all. I also told her about books, websites, and specialty clinics I'd either accessed or heard about from other people. Maybe these would help her too.
Simply talking to someone who's been there, a veteran survivor, helped Alicia deal with her anxieties, feel a bit more secure, and start visualising a future beyond tomorrow. While it may take a long time, most people find they eventually begin to think less about cancer and feel more secure about the future. One way to find others you can talk with is to access the Cancer Council's Supportive Care Service. This service has health professionals who can offer advice along with volunteer supporters who each have been touched by cancer in some way. You can be put in touch with someone who shared similar challenges to you. Call the Cancer Council helpline on 13 11 20 to find out more. While most people who recover from cancer go on to live relatively healthy lives, many survivors face some hurdles along the way. And these challenges may be of four kinds: recurrence, second malignancy, organ damage, or emotional and social issues. The first challenge involves the possibility of cancer coming back. Some people, even months or years after their first cancer diagnosis, experience a recurrence of their original cancer and need more treatment. This might involve the same type of therapy that initially controlled the disease, but often a different kind of treatment is needed. This is often an excellent opportunity to ask your doctor whether participating in a clinical trial would be one of the best options for you to consider at this time. The Cancer Council helpline can also answer questions about clinical trials. In contrast to recurrence of the original cancer, some people may face the challenge of second malignancy, the development of a new and entirely different kind of cancer than they had before. Second malignancies require different types of treatment from the first form of cancer. The earlier a secondary malignancy is caught and treated, the greater the chance for a successful outcome. Today there are more people who are living beyond their initial cancer and who've experienced second malignancies and have been successfully treated. A third challenge may come in the form of organ damage. Some people find their cancer or cancer treatments have damaged some parts of their bodies, such as their heart or lung, ovaries or testicles, bone marrow or nervous system. And a fourth challenge involves a variety of emotional and social issues. While many people will recover physically, they may have difficulty recovering from emotional or social challenges that may result from their illness and treatment. These challenges are often more difficult for some survivors to deal with than the medical problems. We'll hear more about these types of issues later.
Living beyond cancer is more complicated than simply being either sick or well, either having cancer or being cancer-free. Living beyond cancer is a continual process that requires you to take the best possible care of yourself. There's one part of living beyond cancer in the longer term that I wanted to make sure Alicia knew about. I've lived 9 years without a recurrence of cancer. That's very encouraging. But I'm still cautious about keeping track of my health. Since my original cancer hasn't recurred, it is most likely it will not come back this late. But I know I'm still at risk for developing other medical problems related to my prior treatment. It's not something that I allow myself to be constantly worried about, but I do stay on top of my health by making sure I get regular checkups.
You're probably wondering what you can do to stay as healthy as possible after being treated for cancer. Right now, there is little known about how to prevent some of the late effects of cancer. And this means it's extremely important that you learn how to monitor your health and have regular checkups, as Kevin just said, to catch any changes that you're unsure about. We're also learning more each year about the value of exercise, healthy nutrition, stress reduction, and screenings. Check with your healthcare team for the latest information and specific recommendations in these areas. Here are a few suggestions that may help you to develop your own personal plan for looking after your health. Request an exit interview with your doctor and nurse if you're just completing your treatments, or make a separate follow-up appointment. Ask them to help you create a monthly or yearly follow-up plan. Some questions for you to discuss might be: how often do you need to be seen and by whom? What medical or diagnostic tests need to be done and how often? What are the possible risk factors that are specific to you? Make sure you have a GP you feel comfortable with and that your GP and specialist have communicated with one another. A good GP can be your greatest asset, and she or he is often your first point of call if you become anxious or you have any questions. A GP is also often much easier to get in contact with than a specialist, and they can answer many of your questions and help you recognise any symptoms that may need further attention. It also helps to keep track of your medical records. Ask your doctor or nurse to make photocopies of your medical records for you. These are going to include surgery, pathology and X-ray films and reports. Also, keep a record of all cancer treatments, including the names and doses of all chemotherapy drugs and the amount and location of radiation therapy. Some people find it helpful to make their own summary that describes their diagnosis history. The Cancer Council, WA, has developed a diary for this purpose, and you can request it through the helpline on 13 11 20. This way you'll be able to provide a detailed account of your medical history, no matter what healthcare provider you see in the future. This may be particularly useful if you move between public and private healthcare, or if you move house, or even move to another state. You, your family members and friends can always receive longer-term follow-up support from the Cancer Counselling Service. Counselling is provided by qualified and caring professionals who have extensive experience working within the counselling and oncology fields. The service offers individual counselling, couple and relationship counselling, family therapy, child and adolescent counselling, and telephone counselling. Call the Cancer Council helpline on 13 11 20 at the cost of a local call to arrange an appointment. To assist in assessing support and information, the Cancer Council has also established a statewide supportive care service. There are 13 cancer support coordinators throughout Western Australia. They're available to talk with you over the phone or meet you face to face to help you meet your emotional and practical support needs. You might need practical assistance with transport to appointments or help with picking up the kids from school. It might be as simple as someone to look after the garden while you're in Perth for treatment. Or perhaps what you need is companionship, someone to talk with, to share your concerns. To find out more about this service in your local area, call the helpline, 13 11 20.